This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In his second State of the State address, Governor Jim Justice provided a message of optimism that repeatedly pointed back to the state's dire economic outlook just 1 year ago. In a nearly 50-minute speech to a joint meeting of the House and Senate, Governor Justice outlined improvements in the state's economy, addressed ongoing issues such as the opioid crisis, and a slate of priorities that include a phasing out of the state's business inventory tax, legislation that he hopes will boost the natural gas industry, increased attention to community and technical colleges, and a promise of no tax hikes. Dave Mistich was at the Capitol and brings us this report.
In his typically casual tone, Justice began his address with a joke about the temperature outside the Capitol, as well as that inside the House chamber.
How can it be 65 degrees or whatever outside right now and 85 in my office and whatever it is in here? But let's just hope this, that this is the hottest it gets in here for the next 60 days.
Such a comment comes after a divisive session last year and an extended budget impasse while Justice was still a Democrat, before switching back to the Republican Party last August. While last year's session was marked by budgetary issues that almost forced a government shutdown, Justice spent much of this year's speech describing a more hopeful economic prognosis. Early on in his speech, however, he did address continued problems related to opioid addiction.
We have to stop this terrible drug epidemic. We have to. If we don't, it will cannibalize us. You know, just recently we had to dispatch the National Guard to Huntington to try to stop the terrible shootings that were going on in Huntington. You know, we know we have to build treatment facilities, or we have to have additional social workers, or we have to do additional law enforcement. Do we not? Of course we do.
In a nod to the fiscal strains of 2017, Justice pulled out platters for the leadership of both parties. Except these platters were not covered in bull manure, like the one he unveiled last year before vetoing a budget bill.
I've got four of these that we're delivering. And we're delivering to our Speaker and our President and Tim Miley and Roman Prezioso. Now, they're a little bit different. If you'll open them up, and I got one for myself because I didn't think they'd give me one. It's got a big, giant Hershey Kiss. It's got a wonderful WVU or West Virginia-type boutonniere. And it's got an 8-track tape that says, Happy Days.
As expected, Justice also mentioned economic possibilities announced last fall with China Energy, which has been touted as a potential $83.7 billion investment in the natural gas and petrochemical industries.
It could really happen. And the reason it could probably happen is two things. And these are Trump cards that we have, and they're true Trump cards. President Trump genuinely wants the trade imbalance with China to change. And President Trump has put his first step foot forward to say a big part of that change is going to happen in West Virginia. And I'll promise you, President Trump and I are friends, and President Trump doesn't want me calling him saying, Donald, why isn't it happening?
In looking forward to this session and the forthcoming budget, Justice noted that the state's revenues stand above projections for the first time in 5 years. With that in mind, Justice says his proposed budget would more than triple the Division of Tourism's funding from $6 million to $20 million annually.
For every dollar that flows into tourism, it is unbelievable the multiplier effect that comes right back to us. We have got to market ourselves. At some point in time, you've got to get tired of waking up and watching the TV say, come to New York or come to Michigan. It's driving me crazy.
Justice also proposed a 1% pay raise for all state employees, as well as an additional bump for teachers that would amount to 5% over 5 years. Other priorities for justice include making community and technical colleges free and also increasing agricultural industries across the state. In closing, and again touching on an extended metaphor of his governorship serving as coach of West Virginia, Justice invited the Greenbrier East girls basketball team to the floor for a cheer. "Best," they screamed with Justice, telling West Virginians to think of themselves as the best. It was a message of optimism that he hopes can be a theme of the legislative session.
"We're on our way. Let's go get it done. Thank you."
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:50. Partly cloudy skies today. There's a chance of rain this afternoon with highs in the 50s and 60s. Rain tonight and tomorrow. Lows tonight in the 40s and 50s. Highs tomorrow in the 50s and 60s. There's a chance of snow on Saturday with highs in the 20s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. Many Democrats and Republicans say they want to pass immigration reform this year. Most Republicans are pushing for tighter border regulations, while some Democrats say they would like to find a way to extend work permits to Dreamers through the DACA program. DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It provided two-year work permits to some illegal immigrants if their parents brought them into the country as children. Last fall, the Trump administration announced it was ending the program. Just this week, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration's decision to end the DACA program. Roxy Todd spoke with one of those about how the debate in Washington affects her life here in West Virginia.
In September, the Trump administration announced the end of the Obama-era DACA program. Many Republicans, including many of West Virginia's congressional leaders, have said the DACA program was an abuse of executive power by Obama. But some Republicans also say they support finding a permanent solution for DACA recipients if it could be tied in with tighter border security and immigration policy. The West Virginia American Civil Liberties Union estimates there are between 100 and 150 DACA recipients in West Virginia. Jackie Lozano is 21 years old. Her mom brought her into the United States when she was two. She says her mom came here to get a job so she could pay for Jackie's medical care.
"I was a very sick child. Like, I was just sick. And when I think of what my mom did for me, like, when I really think, like, dude, she left her mom, her sisters, her brothers, she left everyone, everything, to go to another totally different place where she didn't even speak anyone's language. She didn't have a place to live when she got here to keep me alive. It just shows, like, our parents do everything and anything for us. So to me, now that I have my own child, I am trying to fight so hard to just have the opportunity to work."
Lozano didn't actually know she was an illegal immigrant until she was 15, when she was starting to apply for financial aid for college. A guidance counselor asked for her Social Security number, and when she went home to ask her mom for her Social Security card, her mom told her she wasn't a U.S. citizen. A year later, when Lozano was 16 years old, then-President Obama announced a new program called DACA, which became highly controversial. Under the program, she was able to apply for a work permit.
"Before DACA, like, knowing that I couldn't get a job, you know what I mean? Like, you can't get a license, you can't get a state-issued ID, you can't have bills, utilities in your name, you can't rent, find a place to rent, you can't have credit. Like, without those things, like, you can't do anything. So, like, when DACA was presented, and while having DACA, like, I'm able to have these things. I'm able to have a phone. I have bills under my name. Like, I'm able to have insurance, health insurance. You know what I mean? I'm able to drive places without having to worry about getting stopped and deported for not having a state ID or from not being from here. You know, and given the fact that I have family here that I need to take care of, and a son and a child that I need to take care of, that's very important. It's crucial, really, not just to have a living, but to live.
Although she hasn't been able to afford college, she has been able to find steady full-time work. She grew up in North Carolina, but she says she fell in love with West Virginia. She works for a communications company and says she could probably work almost anywhere in the country. But in 2015, after she visited West Virginia during a training, she requested a transfer to move here. She also fell in love with a fellow coworker, and she and her partner have a one-year-old baby named Carter. He was sleeping in a stroller during our interview. Last summer, Lozano applied and was accepted for a renewal of her DACA work permit, so she has about a year and a half until her situation would change significantly. But by June 2019, if Congress doesn't decide to renew the program, she fears deportation back to Mexico, where she was born. She remembers the day when she heard the announcement by Attorney General Jeff Sessions that they would end the DACA program.
Like, I picked up my child and I just started crying because I knew, like, there's a possibility that I won't see him for a long time. I knew that I would lose everything and that the first thing that would probably happen would be deportation once I run out of my permit. So, because DACA protects us from getting deported, so it protects us from getting ripped away from our families. So I knew that once that happened, that my clock started to tick. It's as if someone grabs, you know, like those little sand timers, just flipped it over, and you're watching your time run out.
I asked her if she's spoken with anyone who's against the DACA program. She said one thing she hears from opponents is that the government shouldn't give a free pass to criminals. She points out that in addition to a number of other requirements, to qualify for DACA, a person must not be convicted of a felony, a significant misdemeanor, or multiple misdemeanors, and not pose a threat to public safety or national security. She remembers one conversation in particular with one of her conservative friends.
So I actually had a really close friend of mine vote for President Trump, and we would have conversations, like political conversations, about everything. And we talked, like, I told her about my status and stuff, and she was like, well, I'm not opposed to DACA. I think DACA is a great thing because DACA doesn't give permits to anyone. There's stuff that you have, like, there's requirements. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have anything on your criminal record. Nothing. Like, nothing, like, no matter what it is, like, you can't have anything on there because they will not accept it.
Do you have hopes of applying for citizenship one day?
I do. I know that, you know, if things don't go the way, a lot of my close friends are like, well, why don't you just get married to your partner? Like, why don't you just get married? And the way I see it is, I don't feel like I should have to get married to get a citizenship. You know, like, yeah, I want to marry him one day, you know, but, like, I don't want the reason for our marriage to be so I can have a citizenship.
September 2017 marked the end of the DACA program. The Department of Homeland Security says nearly 600,000 people are set to have DACA permits expire over the next 2 years, unless Congress passes legislation to continue this program. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
We reached out to West Virginia's five congressional lawmakers for this story. Both Representative David McKinley and Senator Shelley Moore Capito indicated they'd like to find a solution to help people brought to the country as children as part of fixing the country's immigration system. Representative Evan Jenkins says he, quote, he's committed to ensuring our nation's immigration policies are constitutional and lawful, end quote. Representative Alex Mooney says his priority is seeing a wall built between Mexico and the U.S. before he'll discuss any amnesty proposals. We didn't hear back from Senator Joe Manchin by the time the story was filed. You can find out more at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.